Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that we all might come into an awareness that you are looking for us, and hope that we'll allow ourselves to be found. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my sermon title is Come From Away, and I don't know how many expected some kind of rendition of the musical. I have not seen it, but as thanks to a birthday present to me, I am going to see it on Tuesday night. So I do know this much about it, and that is that it is about hospitality. It is about people who, on 9/11, that September fateful day, who thought they were lost, discovered they were found. So I thought an appropriate title for this story from the Gospel of Luke. It only appears in the Gospel of Luke, and yet it is so beloved by almost everyone, believer and non-believer. Probably one of the most depicted gospel stories in all of great works of art, and perhaps most people are familiar with Rembrandt's version of it. It's made famous by Henry Nouwen's book. Henry Nouwen used to go to the Hermitage in St. Petersburg and sit day after day, hour after hour, just staring at this painting, taking in everything it had to say. But it has been depicted in many more ways by many other artists. I like this one because, of course, if this long-lost brother comes home, not only will the father welcome him, but so will the family dog. I thought that was a nice touch. Anyone who's ever received a dog's welcome will know what that's about. Here is one done by an African artist. And here's one done by a Russian artist. Here is a beautiful one done by Charlie Mackesy. It's called The Prodigal Daughter. The story has universal applications because everyone in every culture knows what it is to be lost and to have that hope of being welcomed home. I was moved this past week by the stories of those who do not know how to find their way home, who are lost. This is Calvin Dazier. He is one of those young people who committed suicide this week, a survivor of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting a year ago. He remained lost. And that news was answered quickly. This beautiful girl, Sydney Aiello, also a survivor of Marjorie Stone Douglas, who could not survive the guilt. Suicide is always more complicated, perhaps, than one thing, and you have to be careful about drawing a direct line, but most who know these stories know that at least what happened at that school that day when many of their classmates were senselessly murdered stayed with them. The person on the right is named Jeremy Richmond. He also died this week. Jeremy, well, he lost a child at the school at Sandy Hook. 6.5 years ago, Newtown, Connecticut. Sometimes the best of us can be lost. Jeremy was a PhD in neuroscience. After the death of his daughter, Aviel, after her murder, he and his wife founded an institute to study brain disorders and the kind of abnormalities in the brain which might lead to violence. He responded in a wonderful way to a horrible tragedy. But still, he could not find his way home. Now, there are more ways of getting lost than such tragedies. People know what it is to be excluded by their society because of their sexual orientation, or because of depression, or because of some other struggle that they are dealing with that they do not feel they can share, or that they do not know how to handle. Perhaps you know a child, or perhaps you know yourself, or perhaps you know some part of yourself that is lost. It's hard. Rembrandt's painting is marvelous. Henry Nouwen was convinced that those hands clasping the returning prodigal were of one of a woman and one of a man. But for all the beautiful renditions of the Welcome Home, there aren't a lot of paintings done of the older brother. And he's there in Rembrandt's painting. Rembrandt always does wonderful things with light. And if you look carefully in the darkness upper corner, there you see him, shrouded in darkness, his face glowering, unhappy, and lost. It's an important thing about this story in the Gospel of Luke, and important especially when you consider those opening verses of this chapter 15. Jesus tells three parables within this chapter, and they are all related and all important to hear in relationship with one another. But he begins by talking to the scribes and Pharisees who are grumbling. These stories are really directed toward the older brother and sisters of us. And you know, churches are often filled with older brothers and sisters. We're the responsible ones, aren't we? Or we pretend we are. I know we too have our moments of being lost, and perhaps our times of being lost. And it's important for us and all those parts of us that are lost, those we are concerned about who are lost, and also even we who think we are found, to hear this story again. The three parables together, well, you know them all because they are all our favorites. The first one is of the 99 who stay, and the shepherd goes searching for that one. And the next parable is of that housewife who loses the one coin and searches throughout her house for it. There's an intensification as we go from 99 and 1 to 10 to 1, and now we have one of two. But when you hear this parable carefully enough, it's actually two of two. The other thing you might see differently from the first two parables to this third one of the often called prodigal son is that in the first one, the people who have lost something are very actively searching. That shepherd leaves his 99 in the wilderness and goes into crevasses and into the brambles looking for that one who is lost, and then carries it home. That housewife lights a lamp and looks underneath everything and sweeps until she has found it. And you get to the last parable and you say, well, the father here waits. But that's not quite true. First of all, we know that when that son returns home, it says he came to himself, but he doesn't come to himself really. He realizes that where he is hungry, his father's slaves have enough to eat and to spare, and he's going to go home and make himself a slave. And while he is still a long way off, his father sees him and runs to him, you know, hiking up his robe, which was beneath the dignity of a Palestinian father. He runs to this son who had wished him dead and had gone off with his share of the family estate. And while the son had a speech of repentance, all prepared, make me a slave in your home, the father says, you're my son again. I've found you again. They have, of course, the party and the fatted calf and the whole works. And then that other son, kind of like those sheep that had been left in the wilderness while he went to find the one, that other son hadn't even been told about the party. You can understand him being angry. And he comes and he stays outside. And here this father again goes looking. He leaves the party and goes out into the darkness searching for that son who has also made himself a slave. He said, all these years I have been working like a slave for you. When this son of yours comes back, not a brother of mine, this son of yours comes back. And the father tells him, this brother of yours. And he says, son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, which is literally true because the other son had received his inheritance. But we had to celebrate because this brother of yours who was lost is found again. He was dead, and he is alive. It's left open-ended. We don't know if the older brother goes into the party, but we do know his father is searching for him, abandoning again all his dignity to plead with his son. Fathers didn't do that in that time and place. But there he is, out in the darkness, pleading, hoping this son will accept being found. And the older brother thinks he's found. But it's clear he is lost. Have you ever thought you were found, knew who you were, knew everything, and discovered suddenly that you were lost? I don't know if you know this story. This is a Toronto man. His name is Anton Pilipa. His story originated in Toronto, but it made headlines around the world 2 years ago. Anton Pilipa became lost. He actually became lost in 2012, and he was lost for 5 years. He had schizophrenia. The person who looked for him was his younger brother. This is Stefan Pilipa. There he is at Toronto City Hall. Stefan and the whole family were incredibly worried about Anton. He was a good man. He had a good heart. He worked with many social justice agencies, especially those who were concerned with the poor, the dispossessed, and the lost. But he went off his meds and started to wander. For 5 years, they looked. They posted things on the internet around the city, and they could not find him until he showed up in Brazil. They think he walked about 10,000 miles, the odd time, hitchhiked on a truck. Some people are skeptical, not believing that he could have possibly done that. They think, oh, you can walk through Canada and the U.S., but you can't walk through Latin America. There are too many dangerous places, not only because of gangs and drug traffickers, but also because of jungles and wild animals. He didn't speak a word of Spanish, didn't speak a word of Portuguese. But a former Canadian, a woman who was working as a police officer in Manaus, Brazil, saw him walking down the road one day, tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed fellow, very disheveled. And she thought, that guy really doesn't belong here. And she picked him up. He was confused, disoriented, looked very much the worse for wear. What she got out of him was that his name was Anton and that he was from Canada. So she did what every good police officer would do. She Googled it and turned up his family looking for him. This is what he looked like when he was found in Brazil, near to death. But they found him. Anton was glad to be reunited with his brother Stefan. He wasn't himself when he left. He was trying to escape something and he didn't know what. But his family and his brother especially were looking for him all that time. He was surprised to be found because he didn't know where he was. His brother said, well, there are a lot of questions and we don't know what had happened. He actually has to face charges because there was a violent altercation before he left, but he hadn't left to flee those charges. It's just part of his confusion. Stefan said, all they want to do right now is embrace him. Do you ever feel lost? The important thing of this story is that the welcome is wonderful, and everybody, great artists in every culture, have portrayed the welcome home of the prodigal son. But the intent of this story and these three stories in the Gospel of Luke is that you are being looked for. There is a relentless love that is seeking you. If you feel lost, if you don't feel that you deserve ever to be found or embraced or ever to have a home, that's not true. This story really is completed not with the elder brother coming home, but with our brother who rises from the dead and continues to look for us. That everyone might be embraced. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us to be aware that you never give up. And you, well, you're pretty determined and you're pretty successful. And we thank you that you are searching even for us. In Jesus' name, amen.